Man, you got to love Carrie Varnell. Amen? Amen. I love that girl. And let me tell you, she is not only funny, she is an amazing mom. And we are celebrating moms this morning, aren't we? And it really is a good thing to just have a day to stop and honor moms, put the spotlight on moms and say, thank you, moms, for loving us in spite of all the times that we don't say please, we don't say thank you, you still love us. And so on behalf of everyone else, I'm the one that gets to do it. It's my privilege to say, moms, we love you with all of our hearts. And when we think about a mom's heart, I don't know why, but my mind goes back to that old saying. I heard it first in seminary. It's by Augustine, or those who are more intellectual will say Augustine. But if you're from the country, you just say Augustine, like I do. And Augustine said, our hearts are restless. Our soul is restless. Our being is restless until it rests in you. And that's true, right? I mean, the reality is we are created by God, and God created us for a relationship with himself. So there is this God-sized vacuum. And unless we fill that vacuum with Jesus, we just look and look and look, and we wander, and we search, and we search, and we search. And so moms, this morning, let me just convey to you, I believe on behalf of everyone else in your life, let me convey this simple request. Do not ignore your own heart. Mom, don't do that. I say that not in the way of challenging or conviction. I say that in the way of encouragement and pleading. Mom, we know that you are going to be tempted to ignore your own heart because you have such a big heart that you just pour it out for everyone else around you. And the reality is, it is easy for moms to ignore their own heart because mom's normal pace, the most usual pace for a mom is busy. Can I get an amen from moms? I mean, moms, right? There are always meals to cook. There are always moods to manage. And there are always fights to break up, right? And so kind of the customary gear for mom is fast forward. It is busy. And when you're not busy, then what Satan does is he comes along and he tries to keep you busy. Maybe in your body, you've got a break. That just means that nobody is bleeding at the moment. And nobody is hungry at the moment. And so physically in your body, you may have a break. So what Satan does is he comes and he tries to fill your mind with a whole bunch of stuff to keep you busy in your mind, right? Kim came home one day, I mean, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago now, after a MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, after a MOPS meeting, and she said, man, the speaker was so profound, and she's telling me all the things that a speaker said, and then she said, and then the speaker said something that kind of caused everybody in the room to gasp, and the more we thought about it, the more we realized she was telling the truth. Yeah, she said, moms, you get attacked by coulda, woulda, shoulda all the time, right? You could have done this, you should have done that, if only you had done this and coulda, woulda, shoulda, and should, you should, you should, you should. And she said, finally, the speaker said, moms, you've got to stop shoulding all over yourself. Now, if you decide to repeat that, go slow like I did. Be very intentional and just say, a MOP speaker once said, and leave me out of it. Thank you. That's the truth, isn't it, though? I mean, seriously, we are busy in body, we're busy in mind. Nowhere is that more true than for a mom. And why is that? Because, mom, Satan wants you busy so that it will be easy for you to ignore the deepest longing of your heart. See, the fact is, if you are surrounded by everyone who needs you, it is pretty easy to ignore your own needs. And when everyone else is calling out for you, it is pretty easy to miss the call of God to you. And the reality is, some of you moms this morning I'm talking to, and I mean this as encouragement, not even as conviction, certainly not guilt. I am saying this to encourage you. Moms, some of you have been so busy for so long, you do not even realize how deeply desperate your soul is for Jesus. So if Augustine is right, our heart is restless until it rests in Jesus, then, Mom, our request of you is this. Please, for yourself and for the rest of us, don't ignore the deepest longing of your own heart. We are in a sermon series, and we are talking about flourishing, and today we're going to be talking about families that flourish. Families that flourish. And this message, though, I want to say right up front, applies not just to moms. I'm going to read in a moment from a psalm. It is not a psalm that is directed exclusively to moms. I'm going to be talking to moms, and I'm going to be talking about moms and mom, all the way through this message. But here's the reality. If you're sitting there going, I guess I don't need to listen today because I'm not a mom. No. This psalm that we're going to read, it's addressed to mamas and daddies, to sons and daughters, to single adults and married adults, to young adults and older adults, to every person, every race, every tribe, even every religion. What we're going to be talking about today is the deepest longing of every human heart, no matter your background or your situation in life. And the psalmist tells us about the deepest longing of the human heart in Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to honor God, honor his word. Would you just stand with me as we read together the word of God? And let me encourage you, don't just read it, but let it read you. And don't just say it, but let's declare this to be true. Will you read and declare with me? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and grab a seat. Man, if there's one thing that I want drilled into every heart and mind, and certainly the heart of every mom this morning, this is it. Your family flourishes when your time with Jesus flourishes. Did you notice in verse 1 how it says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. It's a picture. It's an imagery of a deer that comes across a flowing stream. The stream is filled with crystal clear, fresh, refreshing water. And just as that deer thirsts for the water and drinks in the water, what Jesus is telling us, and I say Jesus because I believe the word of God is about Jesus, and I believe every verse points to Jesus and tells us about Jesus. And so what Jesus is telling us is, look at the picture of the deer drinking from the stream, and that is an accurate picture of your soul, the way I formed and fashioned your soul. And as that deer longs for that water, so your soul, whether you have ignored it, whether you recognize it, whether you know it, whether you believe it or not, your soul longs for the presence of Jesus. Your soul longs to drink in Jesus, just like the deer drinks in the water. Your soul longs to enter into the presence of Jesus, hear the voice of Jesus, and to be transformed by the power of Jesus. And by the way, this psalm is not just aspirational, Mom. It's not just saying to you, hey, Mom, you want your family to flourish. Here's what you could have done. Here's what you should have done. It's not just aspirational. It's not just saying, hey, Mom, I'm going to give you 5 tips on how to live your best life now. 10 suggestions on how to be the best mom you can be. No, no, no. He's saying this is not just aspirational. This is actually descriptive. He is opening up your heart and he is saying, Mom, can I give you a picture of your heart? Can I show you the reality of your heart? Can I just tell you, Mom, the deepest longing, that which your heart truly craves? It's to drink in Jesus like the deer drinks in the water from the stream. It's not just aspirational, it is descriptive. And what he's saying is your soul craves time in God's presence. Mom, your soul craves Jesus. I want to invite you, Mom, to just, we're going to put this verse back up on the screen, and every mom, and by the way, every person, did I mention to you this is for all of us? I just want to ask you right now, would you just join me in declaring, just declare this as the truth? We're not going to read scripture, we're just going to declare the truth about our own soul, and I invite you to just join me in this declaration, but make sure you're not just reading something, make sure you are declaring something, and join me in declaring this. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Mom, that is true of your soul today. Mom, I encourage you to just stop and recognize the deepest need. To just declare to Jesus, Jesus, would you forgive me for all the times that I've been guilty of drinking in far more of the world than drinking in you? Because I recognize the truth, my deepest need is you. Mom, here's the reality. Your soul flourishes when you drink in Jesus. Your family flourishes when your time with Jesus flourishes. And by the way, let me just quickly add, Mom, the reason we need Jesus, and I say as if it's the only one. It's not. But one of the reasons, and it is a really big reason, the reason, Mom, you need Jesus, the reason I need Jesus, the reality is we need Jesus because life is hard. Did you notice the very next verse? My tears have been my food day and night. Isn't that interesting? I love the old saying, a mom is only as happy as her saddest child. Moms, do you believe that this morning? If you believe that, just say amen. Like 3 of you do. The rest of you are kind of cold moms. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's harsh. Hey, the truth is, moms, you're not going to make it through motherhood with dry eyes. Your children are not going to make it through childhood with dry eyes. We live in a fallen, broken world, and the truth is, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to regret some of those mistakes, and you're going to weep over those mistakes. Your child is going to make mistakes, and those mistakes are going to hurt. And your child is going to weep. And when your child weeps, your tears are going to flow as well. You are not going to make it through motherhood without the waterworks opening up. And Mom, let me declare this to you right up front. Your tears do not prove that your faith is defective. Man, if I had just prayed more, then my child wouldn't have gotten into this trouble. Mom, your tears do not prove that you have somehow failed as a mom. If I had only been a better mom, then my child would have never done that. Your tears do not prove that your child is defective. Mom, you know what your tears prove? That you love deeply And your tears prove that when your child hurts, you hurt because you are a mom. Your tears do not prove that God has abandoned you. Moms, your children are going to cry. And when they cry, you're going to cry. And you're going to be concerned about all the things that your child can get into. There's the possibility of your child not following Jesus fully, your child falling into the wrong crowd, your child being negatively impacted by conflict at home, the potential for injury, not taking school seriously, and your child is going to make some poor decisions, and they're going to go through hard times. So, Mom, understand this. You don't make it through motherhood with dry eyes. Now, listen to the next thing. Where is your God? You see that? Now, for the psalmist, he believed in God and's following God, and he's crying out to God, and man, he's going through the tough times, and he's calling out to God, and everybody gathers around him and mocks him and says, oh, where's your God now, Mr. Psalmist? But I find that whenever we're going through it and we're praying out to God, it's not so much that people gather around us and mock us. It's that our own soul can begin to mock us, right? God, where are you? God, have you abandoned me? God, why are you not listening to my prayers? God, do you not understand that I am crying, that my child is crying, that I'm hurting, my child is hurting? God, where are you? Listen to me, Mom. Your tears don't prove that God has abandoned you. No matter how much you feel isolated and alone, because God does not immediately answer your prayer and rush in and fix whatever is causing the tears in your heart or your child's heart. But it's just like human nature, whenever we hurt, to begin to say, where is God? I read this the other day from Acts 9, verse 31. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When I'm reading, I'm always saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to me? And I just want to grab on to something that I believe God is saying to me. Man, I just held on to that one and gnawed on it like a dog gnawing on a bone for about 3 days. And in the process of gnawing on that verse, walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Just walk in obedience to Jesus. And here's Jesus' part. He brings comfort through his Spirit. In the process of that, our grandchildren, whom we share with our daughter and son-in-law, but we are the primaries and they're the secondaries, and they went through a health scare. They both developed a rash at the same time, the same kind of rash, and it was consistent with COVID, and we were concerned, and we were praying through that, and during the midst of all of that, I read these words, and I texted them to my daughter, and I just reminded her that in the midst of this, your responsibility is to walk in the fear of the Lord. God's job, God's responsibility, God's promise is that He is going to make sure you and I and the rest of the family and our granddaughters are going to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, as it turned out, they went and got tests and everything was fine. And it's kind of a funny story. You know what it actually was? A rash. And they got over it and they were fine and we were comforted in the Holy Spirit. Mom, listen to me. Your tears do not prove God's absence. Your tears just prove you love deeply. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit just proves that God loves you and that God loves your children more than you do and that God will never leave you nor abandon you. Now, Mom, listen to me. There is something you can do as a mom. And I believe, Mom, if you'll listen to this, I really believe that this is the secret sauce for families who flourish. Listen to what the psalmist teaches us. These things I remember, say these words with me, would you? As I pour out my soul. Secret sauce of families that flourish. Go to God with your tears. Talk to God about your burdens. My go-to verse whenever life gets difficult, challenging, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. It's a reminder from God that when life gets tough and when the tears begin to flow, the wisest thing that I can do, Mom, the wisest thing you can do is to go to God. Isn't it interesting how when life gets tough and the tears begin to flow and we cry out to God, if God doesn't come and immediately rescue, if God doesn't come and immediately dry up the tears, if God doesn't come and fix whatever is causing the pain, that it either drives us deeper into God, God, I desperately need you, or it drives us away from God. God, where are you? God, how could you turn your back on me? The psalmist said, Mom, if you want your family to flourish, let this be your go-to move. When the tears flow, when the pain comes, when the difficult days set in, go to God. Make this your go-to move. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Now notice, Mom, there's one other thing you can do. And I want you to catch it because I want you to notice that it's coming right out of the Word of God. It's not me just trying to come up with something. Listen to what it says. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to thee. Would you declare this with me? House of God. Do you see that? Mom, the secret sauce for families who flourish. Those moms make their go-to move. I'm going to go to God with my pain and my tears. And I'm going to take my children and keep them connected to the family of God. I believe that is incredibly important. I led the procession. I made sure everybody I love was going with me to the house of God. Why does the psalmist say that? Because the deepest longing of the human heart is to drink in Jesus. Where do you drink in Jesus? I'm telling you, you drink in Jesus with the family of God, with the bride of Christ. Think about your children, Mom. When you take them to the family of God, when you keep them connected in the family of faith, when you take them to church with you, guess what happens, Mom? They receive godly wisdom. Think of sermons, think of teachers, think of mature believers who are mentors and speak into your child's life, but they also are surrounded by godly peers, Mom. I was saved when I was 9 years old, but my family moved away from that little community of Salesville. We moved to another little community called Grayford, but Mom, parents didn't go to church in Grayford. And so from 9 years old till the time I was a sophomore in high school, I didn't go to church ever. And so in high school, sophomore year, I began to think, man, I got to figure out who God is. So I started attending church. And you talk about all of a sudden being surrounded by godly peers. I mean, I was surrounded by people who actually read the Bible. I thought that's what preachers did, you know? And I was surrounded by people, they prayed. Some of the kids were even sharing their faith. I'm telling you, they used a different language with not nearly as many expletives. There you go. Those words are hard for me. So they weren't getting drunk every weekend. The kids in this youth group, they weren't sleeping around, at least as far as I could observe. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, this is a whole different kind of way to live. And in the process, one of the most popular guys in school, a friend of mine, he actually started coming to church, and then it dawned on me why he was way wilder than I ever thought about being. And he started coming to church, and then it dawned on me why he was dating the preacher's daughter, and I kind of had a crush on the preacher's daughter, and so I kind of didn't like my friend coming to church. Then I saw my friend not so much fall in love with the preacher's daughter. I saw my friend fall in love with Jesus. I saw him get saved. I saw God do a 180 degree change in his life. And I'm looking at him, and this is the way I guess a sophomore boy thinks. I'm going, my goodness, if God could do that in his life, what could he do in my life? Because that dude is bad, and I'm a pretty good kid. And so, man, if he could do that with him, think about what he could do with me. I'm telling you, Mom, when you go to Jesus and when you make sure that you keep your kids connected to the family of Jesus, there at church, they receive godly wisdom and they're surrounded by godly peers. And my life is different because I started going to church when I was a sophomore in high school. Mom, run to Jesus and run to church with your child. And don't let anything keep your child from the family of faith and the godly peers and the godly wisdom they need. Don't let select soccer and don't let sleeping in or anything else, because the deepest need of your child's heart is to drink in Jesus. So, Mom, let me conclude this way. I really want to challenge you to put Jesus on your calendar. Have you noticed how we calendar the important stuff and we just try to squeeze the rest of the stuff in? You notice that, right? Your wedding date, did you calendar it or did you just try to squeeze it in one weekend? I'm telling you, Kim and I put our wedding date on the calendar a year out. We got married in December, and she assured me we were going to get married the following December. In no time, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. In no time, I talked her down to August, and we're like, okay. And then I finally talked her into May. It took a lot of talking and a lot of convincing, but I talked her back to May. And then I did my best shot at March. We got married, engaged in December, remember? And I said, man, March is really the time, and I came up with all the reasons. She put her foot down because she's obstinate and hard-hearted towards Jesus. And so she put her foot down. And so we kind of negotiated. And you know, she's wanting to go later. I'm wanting to go earlier. So we finally negotiated on May 15th. And that was the day we got married because it was halfway in between, right? And I'm telling you, we put that baby on the calendar because we weren't just going to squeeze it in, right? And there was nothing that was going to keep me from being at First Baptist Church in Sherman, Texas on May 15th to say I do, because I was ready to get married to that girl and I didn't want her to change her mind. Amen. So do you calendar the important stuff? Of course. You calendar vacations or you just try to squeeze them in? Do you calendar work or do you just try to squeeze it in when you can? Somebody says to you, hey, you want to go fishing tomorrow? You'd be going, oh man, dude, sorry, I got to work, because it's on the calendar. And then you squeeze in the other stuff, right? Hey, I got to pick up some milk on the way home. I got to buy some construction paper for the kids' project. We calendar the important stuff. We squeeze in the rest of the stuff. Mom, I want to encourage you to calendar time with Jesus. Why? Because your family flourishes when your time with Jesus flourishes. That's true for you. That's true for your children. That's true for everyone you know. So, Mom, let me end with this, a word of grace. Some of you are moms of preschoolers, and you're sitting here feeling guilt right now because I'm telling you to put something on your calendar, and you're going, my dance card is full. Some of you are children, or parents, moms of school-age children, and you're going, my dance card is also full. Kim and I were talking about this sermon, and she shared this with me yesterday, and I said, man, I'm going to share that at the end of my sermon. She just talked about how, you know what, when our kids were preschoolers, she didn't work outside the home, and so the time that she calendared to be with Jesus is when she put the kids down for a nap. That's when she got her Bible out, and she prayed, and she thought that was hard enough, and then life got really hard. Our kids got in school, and she started teaching school. And so from the time our kids woke up until the time our kids were in bed, there was no time. And so what my wife did, and she reminded me of this yesterday, she would get up before the kids woke up, and she would get her Bible out, and she would begin to pray. But in her sweet honesty, and I quote, she said, most mornings I was deliriously tired, and I'm not really sure how much good my time with Jesus was, but I did it anyway. Fast forward to last weekend. We did Mother's Day a week early because Kim and I are heading up to be with her mom and honor her mom on Mother's Day. Our kids are going separate directions today. And so we did Mother's Day last weekend. One of the things that we do, and I encourage you to do this, is pretty cool. I mean, after the meal, we just all sat around for a little while longer before we did the dishes, and everybody just went around and shared one thing that we love, appreciate, respect, admire about Kim. You want to know one of the highlights last weekend that our kids said, "Mom, here's what we love." They said every morning when we came down the stairs, we would see you sitting in your chair with your Bible open, and we knew that you were praying for us. We knew that you love us, and that impacted our faith more than anything else. Not to ruin the moment, I said, "But you would say the sermons that you've heard were us." So I just mentioned, "Well, I prayed for y'all to Dad, it's not Father's Day." Mom, let me tell you something. You calendar in Jesus, and even if you nod off, your kids will see that you've calendared in Jesus, and it will impact their faith more than just about anything else you could say to them. Let me say this final word. You go, this is like your third final word. This is the final, final. Switching gears. Mom, that's all I've got to say to moms. Now I'm saying to everyone. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the deepest need of your life is for a Savior. The kingdom of heaven is coming. The reign of God is coming, and His reign is going to last forever and ever and ever. His kingdom is the only kingdom worth being a part of, because every other kingdom is going to fall, including whatever kingdom you can build for yourself. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Jesus Christ, what He did for you as your king, your rightful king, as He died on a cross, taking your sin upon Himself. He was buried, but He rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. And here's what He invites you to do, to repent. Repent of your sin. Repent of living independent of His rightful rule over your life. Believe. Believe that He died, was buried, rose again, but also believe, Lord Jesus, You are the rightful King of kings, and I believe in You as my King. And Jesus, I will follow You. I confess You as my Lord, my King, and I'll follow You and obey You all of my days. Richard is going to come and wrap up our time and send us on our way. I'm going to be standing right back there at that Next Step room, and I would dearly love, if you want to pray with someone, you want somebody to talk to you about membership, you want somebody to talk to you about how you can become a follower of Jesus, whatever your next step is, we would love to talk to you and pray with you at that Next Step room. Moms, we love you. Happy Mother's Day. We are so, so grateful to God for you.